KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, presents In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael.
And welcome once again to In the Garden on KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Ron Thomas hosting with the aforementioned Travis Carmichael, Lyon County Extension horticulturalist, and Travis with us every Thursday morning in the garden. Our program brought to you by Waters Hardware. For everything from home to garden, the team at Waters Hardware, well, they have you covered. They're open 7 days a week at 2727 West Highway 50 by the Emporia Farmers Market. Join them downtown every Saturday, May through October, and Wednesdays, June through September, the Emporia Farmers Market. And by Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 344-6165. Good morning, Travis.
Morning, Ron.
How are you?
I'm good, and how are you?
I'm doing really good. I had some sweet corn last night from the farmer's market.
Yeah,
it was time. Good.
Good. It is time for that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the first time for the season, And they had a big turnout downtown, too, last night for the market.
There's two things that brings herds out to the farmer's market. That's sweet corn and the first set of tomatoes. Yep. So, yeah, I bet they did have quite the crowd. So that's great to hear.
Yeah, good to hear. So, yeah, and it is just delicious, too. So, mm-hmm. And we'll be touching on sweet corn.
We will.
A little later on here in the program. And want to thank you for bringing up some fair books.
You're welcome.
We are starting to plan our coverage of the Lyon County Fair, which will be here before we know it, as July is here next week.
I know. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's just around the corner. So, yeah, fair books are available. You can pick them up at the Extension office along with the open class fair tags. If you're someone who likes to enter an open class, 4-H'ers have until July 1 to get their pre-entries in through our entry system. And so, yeah, planning has been taking place. It's time to get ready to execute.
So. You've been hard at work, obviously. There's a lot that goes into preparing for the fair. Just look at that fair book.
Yes,
Yes,
there's quite a bit that goes into it. We've been working on it as diligently as we can. We keep finding every few mistakes here and there, but we're working through it. So we're getting there. It'll be another good year for the Lyon County Fair.
Indeed, and the buckles and boots, back to our roots.
Yeah.
Buckles and boots. That's a nice theme this year.
It is. We're 4-H'ers get the opportunity to submit a theme, and the fair board will choose the one they like. And this year, that was the theme that was chosen out of the ones submitted. And
good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice. All right. So you'll be hearing much more about the Lyon County Fair as it draws closer, and we're not that far away. We are in the garden right now, though, and we certainly encourage you to give Travis a call here. Any questions or comments you have, 342-5863, 342-KVOE is our number. We'd love to hear from you. Looks like another warm spell, but the possibility of rainfall is going to be with us here the next few days, so that is good. We're not just going to be strictly dealing with the heat, which will be back in force tomorrow. Looks like a break this weekend, but back to the heat again next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so having some of that rain will, hopefully, if we get some. we know how Mother Nature can be sometimes, but hopefully if we get some of the rain, that will help kind of alleviate a little bit of the stress, or at least give us a reprieve as it happens with the fluctuating temperatures. Notice this morning the current drought monitor has us out of the drought, but that doesn't mean she's still not dry on top from all the heat. So, just continue being diligent of checking how well that the rains have been helping, where the moisture is at within the soil, and going from there and watering based off of that. So some of our things are still going to need some extra water just because of the nature of our summers, but some of our other deeply rooted plants may not need as much because there's still in some areas some good amount of moisture within that soil profile.
All right, again, 342-KVOE, 342-5863 to get on with Travis here this morning. We would like to hear from you. Topic number one today, harvesting and storing onions. And there's been some harvesting of onions going on for a while now.
Yeah, there has been. And depending on, you know, what you're growing your onions for, harvesting's been going on probably almost since we started the gardening season. So for those who like to just grow green onions, of course, you grow those to whatever size you prefer, which tends to be, for some folks, much smaller. Some folks do like them to get a little bit more to them. But then we get into those that are, we want the slicing onions, you know, for other recipes or hamburgers or whatnot. And so a lot of times, you know, if you're still new to this, you're probably starting to see some of these signs we're going to talk about, but they actually let you know when they're ready to be pulled out of the ground. Okay. So when you start to notice that all of a sudden the leaves have flopped over to the ground fully, kind of the stem bends in half, they're good to go. That
good
tells
to
you
go.
They're not going to take any more out of those leaves. Nothing else that is produced sugar-wise is going to move out of those leaves for energy and be stored in the bulbs. So basically at that point, we want to then start getting them out of the ground, because especially if the whole crop is starting to go, now we're opening that upper portion of that bulb to be more susceptible to sunburn. So we want to, once we start to see that, we want to pull them out of the ground. Because, you know, if we, as we talked earlier in the year, if you're growing them for slicers, you know, you're going out there moving some of the soil away to expose that bulb, because our soils can be restrictive.
Sure.
With being clay based. So moving that away helped with that production. So now we can pull those out. Once you've done that, then it's a good idea to maybe put them in some bunches, or you can spread them out, but let them kind of go through a good drying for a few days. That helps, one, with any soil that's still on there, because you don't want to wash them. We don't want to wash them, because then that reduces shelf life. But let some of that soil that's left on kind of dry a bit. And this also kind of helps them go through like a curing process. So then they're ready to fully be stored. Once that neck kind of dries out, and I should say you can spread them out or hang them, because it is going to take maybe a week or 2 weeks, depending on our weather, depending on the airflow, because you want it in a place where they'll get some good airflow so it can dry out. That, we call it the neck, so that's what, where all the leaves come out of. We want that as dry as possible. If you find that it's still kind of mushy and you can tell there's moisture in there, they're not ready to be cut off and stored. We want that to fully dry out before we start doing any trimming and then putting them into storage. If we do that too soon, we reduce the shelf life of the onion, because that's a point where all that moisture can be sucked out of that bulb, and then later just the storage of it, as I mentioned, goes down. So once that neck seems to be completely dry, then we can cut the tops off to about a half of an inch above the bulb. You can trim the roots a little bit. Don't go and just whack them off at the bottom. Try to keep them somewhat intact. And then if you need to do any cleaning, just a very light dust off. We don't want to peel them too much. If the skin falls off, don't overreact. That's okay. But just kind of lightly get some of the soil off and leave all the skin that you can on, because that's, again, going to help with storage. And then you can put them loosely in a basket or a crate, or if you have some mesh bags, you can hang them in there. And they can be kept at cooler temperatures, like 32, 40 degrees with lower humidity. If the room stays too warm, then they'll go ahead and start to sprout on you, because essentially you did create a huge seed or a start. So, you know, keeping it a little bit cooler, low humidity will help keep it from sprouting and more root development to not happen. So just those few things, kind of watch, and then check them periodically, because you know we did bring them in from outside.
Sure,
you could always introduce rot or something just because, you know, it happens. So check them every so often. Make sure they're staying nice and firm. If you're noticing that they're starting to decline, then maybe it's time to pull some of those out. Either use them, or if it's real bad, pitch them. So just keep checking them periodically, and then you can keep using them as long as they stay nice and firm and nothing's growing. And
yeah, so how long is the average storage life? I mean, if you do have optimal storage conditions.
I mean, optimum storing conditions, you can keep them for months on end. Okay. And it really also depends on the variety. Some will last longer than others. I know of other extension agents across the state tries to plant enough that they will have onions that will last them until the next year's harvest. So if you have that right storage and the correct varieties, that storage will help, and then you can keep them as long as you can. But it's making sure there's enough airflow, they're dried properly, and then you're keeping them held at the correct temperatures and low humidity so they don't go ahead and start to use up that reserve in there to try to grow. So those are a few of the tricks. But, yeah, you can actually hold them for quite a while if you have the correct conditions.
It seems like onions aren't that difficult to grow around here. We have pretty good conditions around here.
Yeah, generally we don't have a problem growing them. The biggest issue we will have with them is it never fails. We'll get sunburn on them pretty easily.
Really?
Yeah, yes. And we'll see that when we judge the fairs locally and that. It's just the nature. Once those flop over and everything's exposed, it's real just tender. It's kind of like us. If you're fair-skinned, they're kind of fair-skinned, you'll get those spots.
What's that look like?
It's just a patch that's real more discolored, and it kind of depends on if it's a white or a yellow or a red onion. But that area will be a little more dry when it comes to that skin that forms. And generally, you can always tell where it's at because it's up towards the neck and right where it was real exposed to the sun. But that's really the most issues I tend to see with onions being grown locally, is we do tend to get some sunburn on them. But hey, it's hot and dry and windy and the sun's shining. It's going to happen. So
sunburn on the onions.
Yeah.
Interesting. 342-5863, 342-KVOE is our number to get in here with Travis Carmichael, Lyon County Extension Horticulturalist in the garden. Stay tuned. We're back with more right after this.
It's summertime, and that means more opportunities to shop fresh and local at the Emporia Farmers Market. June through September, the Farmers Market is open Saturday mornings from 8 to 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Shop for freshly picked produce, local honey and eggs, baked goods, flowers. There's always something new at the Farmers Market. Find us downtown at 7th and Merchant for a fun family atmosphere and friendly Emporia area vendors. See you at the market.
Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with the summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home and sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate at 620-344-6165.
The Waters Hardware Greenhouse is full and ready to help you brighten your landscaping. Find an incredible selection of boxwoods, trees, hardy shrubs, clematis, and knockout roses. Find beautiful hanging baskets, bedding plants, and even garden pond plants now in the garden section. You'll find in-store specials and discounts just in time to fill your garden with color. Great gifts, home and lawn improvement, and an extensive selection of rentals all under one roof at Waters Hardware. 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Garage sale listings on the air and on the web.
It's so convenient.
At garage sale prices.
And it's just wherever you need it.
Log on to KVOE.com for details. In the garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
Welcome back once again to In the Garden. Ron Thomas here with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. 342-5863, 342-KVOE is our number to get a hold of Travis here this morning. Any questions or comments? Travis is here to field them. Well, we talked about onions, harvesting, and storing. Now on to strawberries and renewing strawberry beds.
Yes. So this will be on established beds. If you started a bed, this is going to be something you're looking forward to here in a couple years. This is on ones that's been producing. And, of course, depending on strawberries as well, depending on what type you've planted. Some are wrapping up, may have already wrapped up harvest for the year. So now's the time to start thinking about next year already because there is some maintenance to do to get them to continue to bear for you in years to come. So as we start to move closer to fall, that's when, as they, the more growth that happens, they start to set the fruit, their fruiting buds and the flowers. All happens in the fall and then bloom in the spring, set the fruit. So we want to do everything now instead of in the fall, because then we run the risk of getting rid of all of our flowers for next year. So, of course, make sure we get as much of the weeds out of the patch as we can, and then we're going to mow them down. And you can use a lawnmower for this, but we're going to mow them down about 2 inches tall. That's still enough to protect the crowns, but that helps kind of cut back, remove any of old leaves, kind of cleans everything up. And then if you have them somewhat in rows, now, of course, they do send runners out, so it does get to be a, more of a patch at some point. But you do kind of want to get it back to where you have a row or rows. You'll want to then go in and start to cultivate that soil. So you're going to till it up. That helps remove any competition from other plants that are in there, too. And that gives a good, nice bed for the new runners that are going to form here over the next few months to spread into. Go ahead, if you feel like you need to add some fertilizer at this point. If you've not done a soil test, then generally you're going to use anywhere from 3/4 to a pound of fertilizer. That would be, depending on the size, it's going to be 3 to 4 cups of fertilizer per 25 foot of row. And that's of just a general balanced fertilizer, so like a 13-13-13. Of course, if you really want to know what you need, bring us in a soil test. Yeah. We'll send it in. Takes about 2 to 3 weeks for us to get the results back and look them over to give you good recommendations. But you can also do that. If you can't find a balanced fertilizer, you can use lawn fertilizer as well. Just make sure that there is no weed control in the lawn fertilizer, because sometimes it'll be called a weed and feed, or they'll add some extra wording, and what they do, they put granular 2,4-D or something in there. Well, that would take care of the entire patch. So then once we've done that, we've worked up everything, we've cut it back, added fertilizer if we feel like it needs to, then now at this point we're just going to make sure the patch stays watered. So from now until the end of fall, we want to make sure we keep an inch of water on the plot. That way it's got enough, it's then able to take in enough to go ahead and continue to grow and spread and set the buds for next year. So that is, you know, making sure maybe you're watching more of what we're getting for rain. If we're not getting an inch, then supplementing that each week to make sure we stay at least an inch. More is okay, but at least an inch of water each week from here on out to help kind of rejuvenate, renew those beds. They send out those new runners, and this will also help then with production overall. If you've also kind of seen some of your strawberry production go down here the last few years, this will be one way to kind of revive that up for you.
Strawberries are good too.
They are.
So do we have a lot of people growing them around here?
You know, there are a lot of folks that do grow strawberries. It's one that I think once you get it going and you kind of get into a routine with them, I don't get a lot of questions on them unless the crop starts to fail. But there are a lot of folks that like to grow strawberries. And, of course, there's nothing with any produce. There's nothing better than growing your own. It does taste better when it's grown locally than sometimes buying it from the store.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, love homegrown, that's for sure.
You betcha. So.
That is for sure. What about off that topic just a second, but Are we getting close to melon season now, Travis?
We should be getting close to melon season here over the next couple weeks or so and into July. We'll start to see the melons kick in depending on what time everyone got their seeds in the ground, that kind of. So we should start, I think, some of the early melons we should start to see here in the next few weeks, about mid part of July or so. So,
all right.
It's hard to think that in the next few weeks we'll be in the middle part of July.
Well,
but,
I know. you know, Monday, next Monday is July 1st.
I know. I really don't want to talk about that, but here we are. So,
and we just want to let people, speaking of next week in July, there will be no In the Garden program because July 4th falls on a Thursday.
Okay. Yeah.
So, want to be able to celebrate the holiday. So it'll be a couple of weeks before Travis is back. So store up those questions. You're invited to call in now. 342-5863. 342-KVOE is our Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line number for In the Garden. Stay tuned. We're back with more right after this.
It's summertime, and that means more opportunities to shop fresh and local at the Emporia Farmers Market. June through September, the Farmers Market is open Saturday mornings from 8 to 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Shop for freshly picked produce, local honey and eggs, baked goods, flowers. There's always something new at the Farmers Market. Find us downtown at 7th and Merchant for a fun family atmosphere and friendly Emporia area vendors. See you at the market.
The Waters Hardware Greenhouse is full and ready to help you brighten your landscaping. Find an incredible selection of boxwoods, trees, hardy shrubs, clematis, and knockout roses. Find beautiful hanging baskets, bedding plants, and even garden pond plants now in the garden section. You'll find in-store specials and discounts just in time to fill your garden with color. Great gifts, home and lawn improvement, and an extensive selection of rentals all under one roof at Waters Hardware. 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with the summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home and sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate at 620-344-6165.
Join Ron Thomas and Chuck Samples Monday through Friday at 7:15 for the Newsmaker segment. A different guest and topic daily on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local. In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
And welcome back to In the Garden, KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Travis Carmichael, Lyon County Extension horticulturalist, is here to talk to you. If you have any questions, comments, now's the time. 342-5863-342-KVOE is our Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line number. We'd love to hear from you. Our program brought to you by Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate, Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50, and the Emporia Farmers Market. Well, we've touched on strawberries and onions, and now on to sweet corn, and specifically sweet corn earworm. Travis?
Yes. Nothing frustrates a person when you've been working on trying to grow that sweet corn. You open the ear up and half of it's gone.
Yeah.
Because of the earworm. So now, of course, we talked about that. There's some already available at the farmer's market. So there's been some folks, you know, that they start a little bit earlier. Also, we have some sweet corns that are they mature very quickly, so they're short day corn, and that. So depending on what you planted, for most folks, we're just now starting to get close to tassel and silking time, which, of course, go figure, that coincides with the heat. So that also will kind of mess up pollination. But anyway, with that, as we continue on, and if you're still, you know, your corn hasn't quite got to tasseling and silking for the ears yet, now would be the time to start really paying attention, because that's going to be kind of what you use for some of your timing, is starting to see the silks form on the ears here in the next few weeks. So most of us don't always see the adult, but the adult earworm is a moth. Males and females have slightly different colors on some of their wings. You may see some yellowish green or some yellowish pinkish brown, and then some black spots on all the wings when they're out fully fanned out and flying. So they will lay their eggs, and then the young will hatch, and the young then wreaks havoc for us. So biggest thing, though, to remember with earworm is it's not all going to be the same color if you've had experience with this before. So they can be yellow, green, red, brownish color, all same thing, just different color of caterpillar that's in there. So left untreated, of course, they can devour portions of an ear in no time. There are, on the market, there are some sweet corns out there that are considered BT ready. Most of those are more commercially available for people who may be growing for sale production. BT corn has some of the products that we're going to talk about in it to where when they feed, it takes care of the caterpillar for us. But then we can also go through and control them ourselves for using the varieties that are more available to homeowners. So we used to talk about, and I think we did here a couple years ago, where the, one of the tedious ways to take care of earworm is as the silks are starting to come out, every couple days you're going out and putting some horticultural oil or mineral oil on the silks, so that way it coats the young and kills them. That's quite tedious if you have quite the big patch of corn. We can spray, and the spraying is going to happen as the silks are starting to emerge. And then once the silks start to turn color, then we're done. So we're only looking of treating for a couple of weeks, really, for the earworm. Because once they get through the silks and they're in the cob itself and on the ear,
it's too late.
It's too late. They're in there and going to have at it. Anything we spray is not going to take care of it at that point. So we can use products like spinosad. We use this for a lot of other insects too, that we may find in Captain Jack's dead bug brew. We use this also for bagworms. So if you're one that been controlling bagworms, you now have dual purpose for your chemical. Yeah. That spinosad works well for those. Also, you can use products that contain cyfurthrin. Again, we're just going to be spraying during the time that the silks are there and present for about the first 2 weeks. And really, that's where we should focus on the application, is that ear and around the silks, because that's where they're going to start their feeding. And then from there, we can move on. And you'll start to kind of notice once you harvest whether or not you got good coverage and whatnot. Well, you still may get a little feeding from them, but hopefully spraying will help reduce the likelihood of having major damage from corn earworm.
So they can take care of some corn in a short order, huh? Once they're on it.
Yeah, once they're on it, they'll just start moving their way through that ear. And also it depends on how fast the ear matures and how fast you get out there and harvest, depending how far they get down the ear of corn. I've judged some county fairs towards the end of last couple weeks of July, where you'll have some where they've just fed a little bit on the tip of that ear of corn, and then sometimes you open up that the husks to just see how well it germinated, and they've made it all the way to the bottom on one side. So, you know, sometimes they're just, it depends how frenzy of a feeder they are, and how long they've been there. So, they can sometimes make quite short order on feeding on those ears of corn.
All right. Well, what's up with the master gardeners right now?
Right now, they are working on keeping the demonstration gardens watered and going. We do have all of our trial plants in, so stop out and see how they're doing. Hopefully the heat's been nice to them somewhat. Well, we want to see what the heat does to them, but also we like to make sure they look nice and pretty too. Yeah. But since they are trial plants, we're hoping to put them through their paces. So working on that. We need to get applications up and going too. So anyone who's interested in becoming a master gardener, please give me a call and we can talk about that as well, because we will have a new class in September. Ooh.
And that's not that far away.
I know. Boy, so, wow.
And quickly, tell us about the master gardener training. What's involved?
Yeah, so the master gardener training is generally about a 10 to 12 week course. We meet Thursday afternoons from 1 to 4 at the Lyon County Extension office. We used to travel, but now we just do half days in a hybrid model. Okay. So I host a watch party for those who can't attend in person, and we log in virtually with 300 to 400 other master gardeners from across the state, and we'll listen to training that's delivered by extension specialists and other extension agents from across the state on the different topics. So basically, we are cramming everything that I have gone to school for and other hort agents have gone to school for anywhere for 4 to 6 years or so, depending on our degree levels, and cramming it into 12 weeks. So we're giving you a lot of very basics, just so you can understand the basics, and then it's my job to expand on that over time. So we don't, there's, backed by, I guess, popular belief, there is no tests. We don't test you on your knowledge that you're gaining. You don't have to pass a test or anything to become a master gardener. You attend the trainings, work with me, and then after you get done with that 12-week course, beginning in January of 25 for this year's class, you'll have a year to complete 40 hours of volunteer training.
Yeah. Well,
so once you complete that, you're considered a full-fledged active master gardener, and you're on your way to helping us with our outreach. So we do outreach projects throughout the county, and so you're trained volunteers to help with that. We do the demonstration gardens. We do the garden tour. We also will help with events out down at the zoo. So like their zoo safari education day that they do in the fall for area schools. We have a booth there. Some years we talk about insects. Some years we talk about spiders. And so we do some of those type events too throughout the community. So it's a lot of fun. If you love plants and love gardening, that's really what we're after. Don't let the name Master Gardener scare you, because none of us are masters. They like to seem to think I am, but I'm far cry from being myself.
You're a master.
But we're just all there because we love plants and enjoy gardening and doing stuff together. It's a fun group to be with. We have a lot of fun at our meetings and our outings. We do go on some field day trips as well. It's a good group to be with and a lot of fun. So if you're interested, give me a call. Yeah. We can talk more about it, and we can get you an application and go from there.
So is there a cost for the training?
There is a cost for the training. It's around $100 to go through the training. So that gets you materials, a T-shirt, and a name badge.
A lot of information.
Yes.
You'll be absorbing, though, that you'll be able to use forever.
Yes, and I should put the plug out there, too, with it. If you are also afraid that you can't make it to the in-person trainings due to your work schedule or something, give me a call. We can talk through that, because now we have more options because of how we handle the training.
There we go. Get Travis a call at the extension office. Well, that will wrap up this week's program. Again, we will be back on July 11th. Thursday, July 11th, due to the 4th of July next Thursday. So you have a good 4th of July holiday, Travis.
I will. You do the same.
We'll do. Our program In the Garden, brought to you by Waters Hardware. Don't have what you need for that big job? Well, Waters has it in their extensive rental department. Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50. By the Emporia Farmers Market, featuring the best of homegrown, homemade, and handmade since 1982. The Emporia Farmers Market, Wednesday evenings, and Saturday mornings at the Farmers Market parking lot at 7th and Merchant. And by Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 344-6165. Judy Turner. And we're back with another edition of In the Garden again in 2 weeks on July 11th here on KVOE, live and local.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia.